I want to speak on panic. That's what I want to speak on. I couldn't figure out a word literally until like 10 minutes before we left. I did not have this word. So I don't think I was thinking on panic the whole time. Sometimes I get led along. I had a meditation, something I was reading, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then now I realized if I could sum it up, I'm going to sum it up and call it panic. We'll discuss all the ways we can panic and how to properly do it. How to successfully panic. We can be good at it. You know, everyone has panics different ways. You know, we won't call it that really. You know, but what that looks like. So anyway, let's turn to 2 Chronicles 15. And Father, just pray that you would keep. Did you get out what you want to get out tonight? And then just help us. In your son's name, amen. Okay. All right, so panic. All right, so 2 Chronicles 15, it's a very interesting chapter. This is Asa. Now, we know Asa for something that we'll go back to, but this particular chapter, he has been around a while, okay? And actually, he will watch others. This is the king of Judah. Now, at this time, God's people had been kind of split up into two kingdoms, the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. This guy is the king of Judah, and he's got a mother who isn't so godly, okay? But he can observe all the things that go on to the king of Israel. Now, we really don't have time tonight to go into all of the things that he would observe. But I just want to give that picture out there. It's interesting that we can, while we're going through our stuff, our own stuff, we can observe other people, like, you know, going through their stuff, right? Or we can observe groups of people. We can, you know, life is not lived in the vacuum in the Bible. It's not like I'm just going through my stuff. There's just stuff going on, and I can learn. I once had someone come to me and say, is it okay to learn about something by watching what others shouldn't be doing? A young person. Yeah, of course. Because, you know, it's just like, okay, this should not be happening. Okay, note to self. All right, this is not a good move here. So we do. We have the, now, this book in the Bible, we have 2 Chronicles, okay? And then it's going, it has another book that tells the same stories, but, and they give us slightly different verses in, sometimes, and we can help figure them out. So 2 Chronicles and 1 Kings are very much, they tell similar stories, okay? And this, which is good for us to note this, because then we can, like I said, observe or reread a story, which we won't for tonight, but we can reread a story and get a feel for something of what was going on additionally. Does that make sense? Yes. Is that clear as mud? Mm-hmm. That there are two books in the Bible that they are basically talking about similar things. We'll have that in the Old Testament, and like I said, in 2 Chronicles and 1 Kings, and the New Testament, what books would we, do we have the same picture? The Gospels, right. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is fascinating, which is why there's a book called Cold Case, I believe, Christianity or something, I forget. But that book is interesting because he was a detective, and that's kind of how he became born again. Because he said, actually, the way that there are four different accounts of the life of Christ made total sense to him. Just like if one of the kids came down here and did some crazy thing or whatever, when the detective would, or if we were interviewed, we might all say four different stories. Same kind of event, but different stories, because it would affect us differently. depending on maybe someone who's going, oh, well, he had this really crazy look on his face. Well, someone else is going to talk about maybe the actual action, or someone else will be, well, you know, maybe they were thinking about something else and they related to it. So actually they say that they can tell that people are lying when the group gives almost the exact same story. Isn't that interesting? Because the Bible has been attacked because at times in the Gospels, they're saying certain things don't line up. Whereas a detective would say they shouldn't line up. They should have the same kind of common thread, the idea, but to make it a real story, you have to understand the witnesses, what they're bringing into the story. So if you have people saying the exact same thing, it almost sounds what they would call rehearsed. Do you understand? So like they're saying your angles are going to be different. Just even like when someone comes in here, just the angle of your vision, who sees it first? How, you know, by the time the other person becomes involved in it. So this is a little note, like if somebody ever wants to attack the Bible, the validity of the Gospels is that they're slightly different. Sometimes the conflict of the Bible gives more value to its veracity, to the fact that it's true. Where we would say, oh, no, we can't have conflict. Well, no, that actually makes it more truthful because it's there are varying viewpoints. The question is the message the same? Yes. All right, so that's a completely aside. But I want to go now to 2 Chronicles 16. So this is our guy, 15, I'm sorry. Well, you don't have to change. All right, so a prophet comes to him, and he tells Asa, and I'm going to read it in a version that becomes a little bit more readable for us right now, just so that it goes a little faster. He says to him, you know, but he says basically in the first few verses before, probably around the book of Judges, the people were doing whatever they wanted to do, and God wasn't happy. That's Latasha's commentary. So now he tells him in verse 7, now you, Asa, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work will be rewarded. So Asa does these things. He does. He begins reforms. Reforms are basically while, you know, before his time and during his time, these like sin had crept in. Idols here, idols there, different things had crept in. So he began to make sacrifices, and he entered into a covenant to seek God in verse 12 with all their heart and soul. And they actually said whoever's not going to be seeking God, they were going to put to death. Now, here's the interesting thing. This is seemingly, you know, if you will, the big moment. Because actually, but he's riding a wave, if you will. And we'll get to that. But he removed his mother in verse 16 because she had had obscene images of these gods. And he said, you can't be in charge anymore in this area. So that's big. Talk about a reform, but then you go to your mom and you say, because you're ungodly. But it says, his heart was loyal in verse 17, even though the high places were not removed. But they removed everything that, you know, he could. They removed idols in verse 8, and they basically said, we are going to seek God. And he brought into the house of God in verse 18 all the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. So those were all put into the house of God in verse 18. Note that. Okay, now we go to chapter 16. I said second. So they're into the house of God. Now, very interesting thing is in chapter 16, those items that we just talked about that went into the house of God, they're coming back out. Okay, so they go into the house of God, and then in his 36th year, a king, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against him. And so he brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord into the king's house, and he took them out to make a deal with the king of Syria, Syria. Ben-Hadad. And he said, let's make a treaty. And he's thinking diversion. I'll make a treaty with this guy And the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Okay. And that way I'll get this guy to go over here and, he'll attack and it'll, you know, it'll make verse, like verse five, he stopped building this thing, this guy, the bad guy, king of Israel, stopped building this thing and ceased his work. And they, basically he undid all that was going to happen. Cause in verse one, he had come up against Judah and he was building Ramah. He was basically building his own little world. All right. So do you get it? He comes in when Asa sees that, he makes a deal. So I see that Susie's coming up against me. I make a deal with Catherine to be aligned with me, to put a little fear in Susie. And if she'll back off a little bit, because now she's got to watch out for Catherine too. And I note the alliance. And how do I make the deal with Catherine? I take the silver and gold out of my out of God's temple and my house, and I give it to Catherine. And so Catherine helps attack, and then they back off. And Asa thinks, great job. But until verse 7. Then a prophet comes. And I have to tell you this. I have to tell this story and build it right so that we're all on the same page. And the prophet comes and he said, listen to him. Listen to me. Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped out of your hand. You did it! You won. The army of the king of Syria has escaped out of your hand, so to speak. In one sense, you won, but you didn't win. They escaped out of your hand. They are not attacking you, but nor have you defeated them. So instead of the idea, well, I dodged a bullet, well, actually, you dodged defeating your adversary. Do you understand the difference? One is they're not, you know, aiming at me anymore. But the other thing is, I have not defeated them. It's a big, big difference, guys. And then this is a famous verse. For the eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. And this you have done foolishly. From now on, you will have wars. You dodged being attacked, but now you're going to have war for the rest of your life. Hey, smart move. You did it. You manipulated the situation, but you will have war now for the rest of your life. And Asa, he took it well. He said, you know what? I can't believe that. You know what? Thank you for letting me know. God, please forgive me. He went to God and he begged forgiveness. He said, God, I need you to help me. Everything I'm saying is a lie. Asa was ticked off. He took that prophet and he put him in prison. And he actually oppressed all of those people who were connected with him. And so the last few years of his reign, not so great. He got a disease in his feet. And here's the interesting, it says there, he got a disease in his feet, and it says he did not call on God again. And even then when he got a disease in his feet, meaning like he didn't call on God then. When God would weaken him one more time to show, is it possible that this thing that's happening to you is a result of this? No, I'm not going to call him. It doesn't mean, if you go back to what we said before, it says that Asa remained loyal in one sense to God all of his loyal to like the things that he had reformed. He didn't necessarily go back on that, but this relationship had been altered by Asa. And so much so that he was, one could say he was hardened to not come and go to God and say, my God, I screwed up. So are you getting me here? It's a very interesting story, and there are things that I want to take from this story, things that like resonated deeply with me, and that's why I think that I'm going to say we'll go over panic. So I'm going to walk through the story again, And one more time, just so that we stay with it, so we get it. You know, it's funny to me. I love the history of the kings of Israel and Judah because they kind of live out our lessons. You know what I mean? They live out, like, I watch in their lives things that you should never do. Do you understand? So you watch out things but I see it in the whole life. So that's one thing why I would say Bible college is great for that, to study that, because the book of Proverbs verses are like one-liners. Boom, boom, don't do this. Hey, if you do this, whatever. Or, hey, when somebody does this, is what happens. Proverbs lived out to me are the, Second Chronicles and First Kings, really the kings, because that's where you see men who did those things before. So I don't have to say it happened to me. I don't want it to happen to me, but in case I didn't know what that would look like, I can see it. So that's why we're going to take this story. So I'm going to recap the story again, and then we'll draw our lessons from it. Very important principles to learn. All right. So Ace is king, and he's a king who's eager. He's on. He's younger. Let's put some ages. But we're going to modernize it in a sense. So let's say, you know, he's in his 20s and 30s. He's a king. He's on the rise, but he's got a mom who, like we know, the mom is not so interested in God, but he loves God. It's interesting. But he really loves God. So the prophet comes to him. The prophet tells him, hey, listen, God sees you. This is great work. Make these reforms because your people, they have been going downhill. So Asa goes back. He does these reforms. He, you know, writes everything correct. And so much so that he removes his mom from being queen because she has some obscene image. And he gets rid of that. He says, okay, we're going to worship God. And everyone agrees. Anyone who doesn't dies. God loves it. It's great. And he's on a roll. This king and it says that he is loyal all his years. And that's basically in chapter 15. So we have our guy, we have this guy loyal, all his days in verse 17. Okay. And there was no war in verse 19 until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Now I'm going to give you a timeline. So he's doing well. He's building. And he does. And he takes, in the verse before that, he takes everything, the silver and the gold, that from his house and from his he brings everything back to the house of God that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated. Now everything is right place, silver and gold in the church, let's call it, the temple. Everything's perfect. And about in the 35th year of the reign, well, that's where we get the problem. The bad guys come. And it's not even the bad guy because it's so totally, this is the king of Israel. This is not like some guy way out there. This is like, you know, we be brethren. These people are basically the same. This just went two different directions. Comes against him and against Judah and built Ramah that he might let none go or come out. Or come into the king of Judah. So he's basically building this huge thing so nobody can get into Judah or out. He freaks out. That's why our lesson today is panic. He freaks out and it goes over, like I said, it would be like if Susie's coming after me and he makes an alliance with Catherine. And what does he pay Catherine with? The silver and gold he'd given back years ago to God. He takes them right back out of the temple, gives them to the king, and says, help me. So he does. Goes over here, distracts the bad guy, you know, distracts the enemy of my enemy as a friend. And then voila, he is delivered. Problem. And this is where God sends again the prophet to him. And he says, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Big verse. Basically, you saved yourself, but you didn't win in the situation. You only saved yourself from being defeated. You didn't become the conqueror. The problem is, and that's what he says, from now on, you will have wars. Because they're, he's saying that, listen, you, why would you rely on somebody who isn't even someone of God's people? Why would you do that to get yourself out of? But he panicked. Now, this is interesting. This is in the 35th reign, which we didn't read. It's a verse in between. He says, were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with many, very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Very interesting. Now, I said Asa is known in Christianity really for chapter 14, where it's a great verse, and I'm going to read that verse. But this is when he was younger, okay, when he was younger, and verse 2 of chapter 14, he did what was right and good in the eyes of his Lord. And that's when he began to remove altars of foreign gods in high places, and he commanded Judah to seek God. And he built 4 to 5 cities. But then the bad guys came to him, which we just talked about. The Ethiopians came out with an army of like 1 million men. It says King James says 1,000,000 came against him. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops, and he cried out to the king of Syria. No. He cried out to the Lord, and he said, God, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power or with few. Help us, O Lord, for we rest on you. And in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. And what does it say? So the Lord struck Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And they pursued him. And the Ethiopians were overthrown, and this is key, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away much spoil. Then they defeated all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities. I mean, God made sure it was a full defeat. When God does something and I give him permission in my life, it is a full defeat of the enemy. Okay? It's like when God fed the 5,000, the 4,000, when God fed them, it says there were baskets left over. Okay, God didn't heal the blind man. He thinks, I can kind of see. I can see a lot better than I did. That's not how God does. When he does something, it is complete. Our salvation is complete. We're not like, that's why we are definitely never going to believe you lose your salvation. God, it's not like God did it. Oops, we messed it up. God did it. When God does it, it's forever. Everything he does is complete. The lame weren't limping. Oh my God, and the lame can limp again. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. No, the lame walk. The blind see. The deaf can now make out occasional sounds. No, the deaf can hear. The dumb can now, they can make sounds. No, the dumb can talk. But sometimes we live in a Christianity that would ask God, please let me get a sound out every now and then. Like, God, I'd like to see a little bit. And God does things forever. And he does them in a big way in our lives. So, and that's the big reason why we're not a big fan of, say, you know, methadone or any of these type of things where these partial things like God can't deliver. We're the old school because the old school is the Bible. Where deliverance is a full deliverance, where the person is no longer what they were, and they are more than that. They're not at the 60 years old calling them after, you know, when they were 20 and they had a problem with alcohol. They're not at 60 going, my name is Latasha and I'm an alcoholic. Great. That would be like the blind man at 60. He obviously could see. He goes, my name is, I was a blind man and I'm a blind man. It was like, that's crazy stuff, right? You know, a guy walking around. He goes, where do you got to go today? I got to go to Limpers Anonymous, you know, because, you know, it's like, hey, I can walk, but I used to be. Now, granted, I should have remembered that I was lame, but I'm not going back there to have a whole lot of discussion on it because now I run. Now I've got kids and my kids run. And, you know, it's like my life has gone on because that's what God does. He gives me a completely renewed life, and I move onward. I am not supposed to be moving, dragging my past behind me. Excuse me a second. Just give me 1 second. Everywhere I go, dragging my past behind me. Hope, you know, everywhere I go, just get a load of my past. You know, I'm here, but, you know, my past. It doesn't work that way with God. He doesn't do that. That's why, you know, the scriptures are full of that. Men and women whose lives were changed, not rearranged. All right. All right. So anyway, that's one point we want to make. And then the next thing is, Asa, what happened? You know, this meant so many years later. You know, his days of land was quiet for 10 years. But then what happened to you? You believed, you came to God and said, listen, we have nothing. You could deliver by many or by few. I need your help here. And God came in and he wiped everybody out. That's amazing. And it says that when they had plundered everything, that this prophet ran out to him and said, you're doing amazing. Keep going. And Asa did keep going. So what happened that the next time it happened? This time Asa's making a deal. What happened? Wait a minute, the first time was incredible. You were young. When you were young in your own eyes. This is a little bit similar to in 1 Samuel 13. When you were little in your own eyes, Saul. Saul was, when you were little in your own eyes, right around that, Saul is forcing himself, he says, because he panicked. And Samuel comes to him and says, listen, here's a king and you're doing things that you're not supposed to do. And Samuel comes to him and says, listen, when you were little in your own eyes, everything was fine. It's okay. You know, we spend our times when we're in our 20s and maybe, because I'm giving now, we're going to keep it real here, in our 20s or so, and we're panicked because we're little in our own eyes. Maybe. On this day and age, that goes away very quickly. You know, but I'm just saying, there's a time when God, there's a youthfulness, a spiritual youthfulness, that when I'm young, in a good sense. So when panic comes, I go to God directly. And I'm like, I got nothing here. I'm just a little guy. I'm just a little lady. I got nothing. And God says, thank you. And it says that God and his army, God is not looking for my army. He's looking for me to come and say, I got nothing. And it wasn't that. And so now I ride on this crest. I am like the queen. Like, it says that he destroyed everything. He took plunder. I mean, he ran after them, and then and then the people around them, and great fear fell on them. Like, God gives me such a victory, because it's not me, and I know it's not me. God, it wasn't like Asa was a great commander. It was that he had a great God, and he was little in his own eyes. But years later come. Now I begin to figure things, and now I want to manipulate things. The same situation will come. And we have a great picture of this in Genesis 32, right? Jacob is basically, his brother's coming at him, and he's freaking out. He's so gracious, he's sending his brother, things, and then his own, family members, basically his own family, out to meet Saul, hoping that it will appease Saul. Then he's kind of by himself, and the Bible said he was left alone to fight the angel of the Lord, which we know was a picture of Christ, till the break of day. Panic. But before that, he has his prayer, like, God, you promised this, you said this. And God had brought him into to a state of absolute panic. Designed. But designed for him to call out. And he finally is so, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And that is a good, good word from Jacob. Panicked. I'm holding on. I can't defeat, but fighting with all his might. And, you know, he's going to lose, but he's holding on. He's so stinking desperate. And God is saying, okay, I'm going to bless you, you know? And he gives him a new name. Now, I have the same idea with Asa, but Asa will not. And we see him, if you will, in his own way, he has hardened a part of his heart. Why? You lose nothing, Asa. So by the end, your Bible says you're diseased in your feet and you won't even call out to God to heal you. Years have added to years. And instead of remembering where you have come from, remembering that in a moment that the panic is designed by God to so that I can call upon him. And honestly, it doesn't matter how I got there. There's no like big, like God doesn't have a log. It's in a moment I cry out to him to get grace and mercy to help in time of need in Hebrews 4. I cry out to him and God says, okay, I'm going to run. That's my child. If that's my child, you know, you're to cry. If any of you have children or if you remember when you were a child and you screamed your mom's name, screamed it like, oh my gosh, I need help. Did she call back? Okay. Like, let's talk about this. Or did she come running? There was no discussion. You know, it wasn't discussion. You know, we found, as some of you know, we lost our dog. The dog got out and dog's gone for over 2 weeks. And I'm thinking about different things. And, you know, that dog, when he gets out on a normal day, that dog, if he ever gets out, he's going in that cage. Because we're going to teach him, because he's not going to cross that street, get hit, a lot of things. He's going to be taught a lesson. By about the third day, lesson's over. Where's the dog? Fourth day, fifth day, everyone's quietly. I'm driving, no one knows, around 3 a.m, driving the streets at night, looking for this dog. You know, I'm not even a big pet person, but I'm looking for this dog. We got that dog back, and it was like a hallelujah breakdown. And so we beat that dog. No, we didn't, right? We took the dog to a vet. You know, we had the dog checked up, checked out. We had that thing injected, that chip put in him, you know, where he ate like he's never eaten before. You know, he had dropped weight, he had sores, but he was okay. But, you know, we're nursing him back to health, right, you know. And then, you know, but we're not like, you know, we didn't like throw him in the cage, you know, how's that going to help? You know, like he's good. It's like, but we are like, so in one sense, here's the crazy part. Almost in one sense, the worse you've been, the greater the help. It's, you know what I mean? It's like, if he had just gone out for an hour or two and he came back, you know, I'd be ticked. He'd be in that cage for that night. You don't do that. You got me? You listen to me. Bad dog. But, you know, but the longer he's out, the worse. Now, here's the thing. That's not a risk that any of us should take. Because we don't know, like, that dog could have been hit by traffic. We found him miles down the road. He could have been hit by traffic. He could have been killed. The list is long. Sometimes people will collect dogs in an area if they have dog fights and they have, what do you call those things, where they bet. They collect dogs like that, and they make them pray for the other. They train them. So a stray is great. The list is long what could have happened to that dog. So it's why you don't run out like, hey, Grayson, you acted like a prodigal, or we can act like a prodigal son in an area. We don't do that hoping that God will come after us, because we have some great big chances that anything could happen to us out there. There are no promises that way. But my gosh, of like what kind of effects or damage. I mean, when Grayson did come back, he dropped about 15 pounds. You know, like I said, he had the sores on him and whatnot. That's not pleasant, not pleasant at all. It took him a while. When he first got back, he's, you know, he was not even really responsive to us. Happy to see us, but like just tired, just out of it. Okay, so that's that, right? So that's why we don't do something like that. But we, his owners, didn't go beat him and say, you deserved everything you got, throw him in the cage. He got better treatment. He got more treats. He got Thanksgiving every day for like 2 weeks. You know what I mean? It's like, that's really how it goes. And Asa, if you had called on him, but instead, the very reform that you have done, your silver and gold that you say I'm never going to touch, you've given to manipulate. But here's the thing. It's as if God was saying, still, it's possible because your defeat are diseased and you can call out one more time and you don't do it. The panic. What happens in the panic? I can't change the panic. Like, there are things that are designed to cause me to panic. We will not escape panic. But what God is saying is that I would have you call upon me. And here's the thing. We had better be careful. It's easy, maybe. He does these reforms. He rides that wave into, say, let's say his 20s. We're just being figurative here. But then he gets to 30s and 40s, or let's say the 40s, and he can't do it in the 50s because there are other things now in the way of it. But I need to, like, there's in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, he says we have to return to what we call our first works. And I hope to God I die young. And every one of us should pray the prayer to die young. What I mean by that, I want to die with the joy of my early salvation. I want to die with the wide-eyed awe that I had of God who came to me. I want to remember when somebody says, oh, this situation or that situation can, oh no, God's come through before. You should have seen it before. When this king of Israel had come, it should have been, hey, you think this is bad? Guess what? 10, 15 years ago, it was worse. But we reverse it. Maybe Asa would say it's worse now. But it's not. It's not. Our vision is skewed. It's skewed. We're the ones skewed. Because it was worse earlier when you were younger and had 15,000 reasons why it could go wrong. Right? You're not even maybe in some cases you didn't even know the Bible then. So it was 15,000 ways it could have gone wrong. You could not be standing here, Asa, maybe. So you're already better off because you never knew you could make this year. Now you're decades into it. You're decades into it. You've walked with God. It's not worse for you. It was a touch and go earlier. Now you have a history of being able to say he came now and now and now. Oh, if I can remember all the good things that he has done. And that, what is that, Deuteronomy 26 or so. I want to remember that. Because otherwise I have a skewed idea. And in my age, I will lack wisdom. Age should speak, but it doesn't always. And I can lose this. I can lose and I can sell out. And that's what he did. He sold out. And I can lose this. And again, remember I said he's also was watching things going on at the same time. He's watching kings of Israel come up and go down who were wicked, who God destroyed. God let one come up. Even this king who came against him, God told him that this king of Israel came against him. God said, I'm going to destroy your house because the way you are. And it's true that a servant came up, took over his kingdom, and wiped them all out. So he's watching this with his eyes. And it's possible in Psalm 91 that I can watch with my eyes, that only with my eyes I can behold the wicked. And 10,000 on one side and 1,000 over here falling. But with my eyes, why? Because I'm the weak one. I got nothing. Well, you'd say, well, why are you, how can you be standing or whatever? Because I just call on God. I'm a mess. I'm a mess. Yeah, but now you're in a big mess. Oh, no, my mess is better now. Because my mess was worse years ago when I could have gone 15 different ways. Now I've got a history of telling you how God has been faithful. The biggest thing, very often God will have a man of God come and say, a prophet to say, is, what happened? Don't you remember? Even Christ would do this in the New Testament. They were complaining because they didn't have food to eat. And he said, but I just did a miracle over here. I fed you. It's like it's so easy to forget that when we panic. So I have really two recourses as a Christian, as I age spiritually. I have to do one. One is I can remember all the ways that God has led me in Deuteronomy 8. Remember all the ways. And that would be great. That would be great. You know what I wanted to do, and I forgot, because I didn't know I was going to speak on this, but I had this thought earlier this week for this Bible study, is that you would grab a notebook this year, and you would be determined, just this year, to write every miracle from January to December and look at it. To write it. To write it. A simple one. To be faithful to do it. Be honest before God to say, I'm going to do it. When miracle one happens, you write it down. Miracle two happens, you write it down. All the way to December. And then let's compare notes. Let's have a party in December. I guarantee you we will have a party. It's not going to be a mourner. We're not going to have a funeral. We're not going to have a wake. Let's see the body of all the dead promises. No, it'll be a party. Okay, let's have a party. I guarantee you, we could do that. We could say, what did we see personally? What did you note? Because God is doing that stuff all day, every day. And we miss so much. It's embarrassing, actually. If those with children, if they had a party like that, we'd have a hallelujah breakdown. You know, that's the song we sing. I grew up knowing when I grew up Baptist, and no charge, Shirley Caesar, for the 9 months I carried you. When the son wanted to, you know, he made a list of everything that he had done for his mom that day, and he presented her a bill. So she was quiet. And she said, okay, thank you for this. And she said, okay, and she wrote her own list. For the 9 months I carried you, no charge. For the nights I stayed up with you, no charge. For that, you know, she went through this whole list and no charge. And she gave her bill to him, which in the end, if you add it all up, the cost is too much. So my son, it's no charge. Okay, so, you know, we would say that was maybe children, or maybe we would. Every day I teach, I think of my mom, I'll be honest with you. And I think, because there's just so much. I have never been more grateful. You know, that's just the way it is. And I talk some, she'll tell you every couple of weeks I call her, because I can't believe just how she, you know, the way she was, how she stuck it out, how she made, because she was a single mom mainly. We were poor, and three of us, and she was absolutely devoted that we would go to Christian school and have that type of education. And she pushed and pushed. And we weren't always eager, you know, but that's just amazing. And some of you saw my brother last night in church returning. You know, he's been 20 years living on the continent of Africa. And, you know, thousands, yeah, he's ministered to in Bible colleges and different things. And you think, my mom, you're talking about the projects of Baltimore. You know, it's possible. These things are doable. It's absolutely doable. But she just never believed it wasn't. And she taught us not to think like, and so we never did. You know, now we look at them like, that's, well, it's crazy. But it's just really how you think and talk. And I say this to say, like, we would have that with God a year. Write it down. For 1 year. Write it down. Honestly, this is what you will find. I'm going to record this one little section right here. At some point, you will say it to someone, or they will say it to you. And they will say, yeah, but this situation's different. You can't apply that here. Anytime, that's a big red flag for me. Anytime somebody tells me that the application of the bigness of God does not apply here, you've just made my God small. He's bigger than any situation. I'm not talking about the manipulation of whatever. I'm not talking about whether this one does this or that. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about Can God save? Can God, is anything too hard for God? Can God deliver? Can God make me win when I should be losing? You do that, sometimes I'll go quiet and I will put my, I'll give a little distance because it's not God and I cannot afford that spirit. It's not God. And neither can you. You can't afford that in your life. You can't afford, the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Meaning you put a little bit of this kind of stuff, you ever seen, you know, leaven, yeast? You put a little yeast in, it isn't like the lump's going to stay. That thing, well, you know, have you ever misused when you were younger and then you figure out like, oh, you can do this. You put that puppy in and it's like, ah, and that thing feels big. We found the amazing ability that of my brother and I when we were younger. We experimented a lot on food. You know, it's like a little piece of chicken, but it came like this, man. It was like, this is fantastic. This is fried chicken. Okay, you know, but honestly, a little bit of leaven leavens a whole lump. A little bit of unbelief, and guess what? You will find that it destroys everything. A little bit of that stuff. Asa, what happened? You stood strong against your own mother. You were little in your own eyes to call out for help, and now all of a sudden you've got a new take on things. And you, everyone, maybe all of your wise men, maybe everyone around you says, good job the way you did that deal. You saved us. And God is saying, you didn't save us. You didn't save them. You destroyed them. You gave them a model that's incorrect. You taught them how to manipulate and avoid disaster, not how to win me and win and conquer, which is what I've called you to do. So you'll have wars now. Now you'll have to do it again. That's what a war is. Now you'll have to do it again. 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 And you'll keep doing it. And you'll keep doing it. And you'll keep doing it. It's a bad way to go. Now, is God too big, too small to reverse that trend in our lives if we've let that happen tonight? No, he's not too small. I can call upon him and I can say, God, this is crazy. I can't do this. I have fought and manipulated with the best. And I can go to God and he will hear that. And he may bring me to like a point where, you know, He may have brought me, if I'm not there, or bring me to a place where I have zero resources. You forget our complete capacity for sin. You and I have an incredible capacity to win or to sin. Hosea 13:9, you have destroyed yourself, but in me is your help. You and I have an incredible capacity to destroy ourselves. But he has an incredible ability to help me. Panic is going to be there. Sometimes it's engineered to save me from my own ability to deliver myself. But I would that we would be more like Asa in his younger days. More like willing to have reforms continue in my life. Let's not lose that. Let's have that. So I think that's mainly what I wanted to talk about tonight. But it's a big, it is the difference. It's like a big topic, but, you know, it doesn't have, we don't have to have a long theology book. It's just a fact. These are just spiritual facts. Does anybody have any comments or thoughts on this or questions even?
like, we don't have control over them. And you were talking about, like, can dead things be made alive again? Like, these hopes or things. But, like, you were saying, be ready. Like, have a spirit of readiness for, like, God to do anything. And I think that is kind of, like, the difference of, like, instead of relying on your own strength or, like, your own reason, and like you said, like, you start to make a deal with the king of Syria, then you're stuck in that system, and now it's on you to, like, maintain. But instead, like, can we have that spirit of readiness to cry out to God and say, like, God, I don't know, but, like, you are bigger, and you can do this, and so I'm going to cry it to you, because, like, I can't lose there, and, like, only you know the outcome, but at least I'm in the right spot. So, I like the reminder just to, like, be in the right spirit.
I think sometimes we need one writer once said that if a man in his 30s and 40s would have taken maybe a half an hour to think about his life, he could have changed his altered his destiny. Mm-hmm. Meaning, like, you know, we start sometimes, I think we're just like, oh, this is a life I have, and we continue down a road, but it's not so. It doesn't necessarily have to be so. Sometimes we can, and Asa really could have stopped us at multiple points. You know, it's multiple points. He could have said, this is wrong thinking. And I think it's easy for us to, like, kind of move with the age, in our age, meaning, like, whatever age we are, it's like, okay, well, yeah, we've seen nothing but whatever, and I got myself in, and I'm trapped in the situation. But just the very words coming out of my lips are disastrous, because why? How did God's bigger in my 20s? Does God get smaller every year? You know, like, or if I'm in my 30s or 40s, like, every year I get to know him, God gets smaller. That's Christianity. How small, you know, how small is your God? Well, by the time I'm 60, I won't even believe he exists.
Well, that's a way of thinking and flipping, huh? Like, I had a teacher a long time ago, and he said that if you had to write a story, like, that if you died, what would you want people to say about you? And I'm thinking, why would you even think of that? But what actually happens, you actually get a different perspective of looking at things and how you would want people to think of you and how you would want to be successful in your life. So, you know, at first you're like, I'm just living day by day and getting through the day, and they don't really care. It's like, okay, as long as I have a job and a car, and, you know, I'm not worried about it. But when he came from a different perspective, if you were writing, like, your obituary, what would you want people to say about you? Would you want them to say that you was, you know, successful at going to a job, that you were not helping other people? Would you want them to say that you were working in the community? Would you want them to say you were, like, a successful lawyer? What would you want them to say about you? And so to give you a different perspective of how you see your own life and how you want to improve your life. And if you didn't like your life, you would think about it like, no, I wouldn't want them to say, yeah, I smoke so many cigarettes every day, or I drink, and this is what my life is day to day. You know, I would want them to say that I'm, you know, there helping people, I love my job, I love people, I love my family. And it was a total different way of looking at things, which I've never actually thought about. And it also made me think of how, like, certain things you're doing in your 20s, like, you're wasting your time. It totally is a different perspective of looking at things.
And that's a very good point, that whatever stops me, like that type of change of perspective, things can stop you on a dime, and then it alters. Like you find out, then it's really the, like you said, I'm wasting this much time. Like I want to be known for, you know, well, she was really good at smoking 2 packs a day, you know, or whatever it is. Like, is this really? I'm quite sure Asa, and he's in heaven now, but in hindsight, if he could, I'm sure this is not a pretty picture of his life. He loves the reforms, but the thing is this, as he progressively got older, things went in the wrong direction. And I'm saying that it's, things are better than a reminder. It's more like, let's change direction. Let's change direction. It is not too late to change direction, you know? And there's that court, like, we do not need to be led around like with hooks in our nose because supposedly some, as if someone else is writing my story. Asa, nobody is writing your story. You're writing it.
Yourself.
Yeah.
That's true.
So it's like, this doesn't have to be my perspective, my way. And that's why I would say I want to challenge you. And I've been thinking about it. I do that. Be honest with you, I do that already, and it has helped me. And I sometimes have wondered, like when I'm talking to somebody, don't you know? Don't you remember? And I realize because this person must not be doing that. And that is to writing down, like what has he done? What is he doing? How big is he today? Because God it's like God can be big in a day, every day. Like how big is he today? You can say, maybe if you're not careful, 3 months from now, that thing will be small. And I've heard that. I'm like, what, you were panicked about it 3 months ago. So now, but today, 3 months later, that's nothing. And you want to say, that's nothing. That's not cool. You know, like, that's not cool. God was really big, Asa. But now God is really small today. But even if he rescues you really big, again, then, you know, hey, I'll have to do it again. I'm just saying that I need to record those things. And if we didn't have the scriptures, you and I wouldn't even have the ability to even see this. Like, we could look back, we could look at all these people and say, my gosh, why didn't they get this? Can't you see? I can point my finger at Asa and say, that's crazy, Asa. I did all these things for you. But he might say, Latasha, I'm staring at your life here. Well, what about this and this and this? Why aren't you believing him for this? When did you stop believing? When did that usefulness, when you would run to something like this? Where is that? When you made that reform, and it's interesting that she brings up something. Maybe when we're younger, there's a big, younger in the Lord. Like Lily is a new Christian. Okay, so you're younger in the Lord. You get to watch your own maturation process. So so you can see yourself, God doing reforms in you. Mm-hmm. You know what the privilege of getting older in the Lord? You can see him using you to do it in others. Now it's just not me being reformed. Like, you know, we don't expect these kids to help raise their classmates or you don't expect them whatever. But you would expect a teacher. When I was a child, I spake of the child, I thought of the child. But when I became old, the Bible says, I put away childish things. But guess what? I can help a child. I can help a child. Now the reforms are not just with me, but my life and their life. And I can actually help them and watch that change in that person's life, whether it's a child or an adult or a coworker or somebody. It's like I can make a difference. And that's the what she's talking about. That's the story, yes, that I would want to be known of. That there were reforms in my life, Asa, and you changed a whole nation. But you could continue to, and thousands more could be in your debt. But maybe I would dare say, Asa, there are more things that you've done. Because by the way that you are, I look at your life, and now you're in the category of, I look at your obituary, and I'm looking at your life and saying, I don't want to go that way. And maybe he's changing my life. But I don't want to have my life to be a changer for that way. I don't want to be, you know, hold my picture up, you know, when they have that, do you want to look like this? Or like this? I don't want to be that guy, that girl, that person. I want it to be like, hey, we can run. We can do these things look, because she was able to. If she can do it, anybody. I don't mind them saying that. Hey, if she can do it, anybody can. Yes, absolutely. But let it be that. Let me not be an example of how to give up after 20 years. Here's my book. How to give up after 20 years with God. How, you know, let my life be an example to Lily. Like, Lily, I want to be able to say to Lily, like, I'm telling you, he grows sweeter every day. I'm telling you, actually, he's bigger now than he was then. He's bigger. You know, because the stuff he does is amazing to me. I have history to talk to you about. Let me tell you a story about my life. Let me tell you a story about others' lives now that I've seen. He's so big. He's so unique. It's amazing. That's a story. And that's, so that's, I said one way is, like, write that to the other end of the year. And I forgot the second way. Let me just add it now. The second thing is just to always choose to call upon his name in any situation. That saves me. Maybe I don't even have the memory of how he, maybe I can't remember. Like, I can't, someone said, you can't, it's so, your situation's so big in front of you now, you can't even remember how he saved you. That's okay. Just call on to him. Call out to him. I don't have to remember. I don't have to pull, where's my journal? Oh my gosh, I'm not going to, no, I don't have to have that. I don't have to, in the situation, I will say, like, God, how about this? When I can't remember what you did, let me remember you. Let me call out. Let me just call out to you. Help. Like Pastor Jay spoke last night with these groanings in Romans 8. I don't have the prayer. I don't have the words for it. I don't have the words. But let me just call out, just like, ah, Abba, Father, ah. Like, God, help me. I don't really even know how to pray this prayer. God, if I have, so great if I can remember and I can point to things, but Lord, you, if I can't, if I'm so overwhelmed with my situation, let it be. Asa, if you had only known that, maybe you didn't remember, but could you remember that your God is a God that you can go to on any at any time for any reason, to call upon him, and he will hear. If you call on me, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you search for me with all your heart, and I'll be found of you. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Ask me anything. You know? Like, let me, I have one of two ways to go. God, his, there's a great verse, his commandments are not grievous. It means his commandments are not hard. Says, listen, if you can't remember all the things, remember me. Remember me. You know? I guarantee you, this is interesting. Most children cannot remember the past 10 years of what, quote unquote, Santa Claus brought to them. But you know what? They have no problem every year asking Santa Claus for the next thing. Because, right? Because the idea of Santa Claus lets me ask him whatever I want. I'm not required to remember all of the great things. Right? Isn't that true? Like, you know, I may not remember even all the things that grandma got me or mom got me or whatever, but I remember, I know who she is. So I know I can go to her and ask. So I'm going to go and ask. And she's the one I'm going to call out to. Like, that is not a requirement. That just helps us in understanding. He grows bigger in my mind and more able to help me when I can remember. But even if I can't, he's right there. That is grace and loving kindness. So that's all. I forgot that second part, but it's critical. It's not required that I remember all of, but it's good for me. It's good practice. It's good because when everyone else is losing their heads, you'll remember, hey, he helped us now, he can help us again. But let's see, let's say I get infected with them and I begin to lose my head. Whoa, God, just help. And that person is rewarded just like the person. God's going to come in and help both persons. Isn't that great?
Sure.
That's a great word. He'll help me either way. Those are the two ways. But he does not, he is He is disappointed, if you will, with unbelief. That's bothersome. Because nothing is too hard for me. All right. So what, any final closing thoughts?
So in that same like passage that you read, like kind of in between when he was like doing well and then we didn't do so great, like there's this one verse that says, like he did all this stuff, he like cut down the idol, stamped it out, burnt it, blah, blah, blah. And it says, but the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Like, does that mean something? Like he didn't go all the way in some way, and that like that, and maybe that in and of itself, like what did that, could that have like left room for the unbelief later or the panic later? Or?
Maybe, yeah, maybe. But we know that Josiah removed the high places and he went into a battle he shouldn't have gone into. Do you understand? I guess for me, there are a lot of kings, you'll read that, and that'll, if you read the king, if you read about the kings, it'll say the high places were not removed. And the high places, it used to bother me with Mike when I was younger. I'm like, my gosh, why couldn't you get rid of the high places? did you not know? Like, here's the thing. Josiah is considered one of the greatest reformers, the greatest reformer of all among the kings. And yet he made a stupid move at the end. And I just think that there are things in our lives that, they're going to be, we're sinners. We're good at sinning. And I think we're going to have places that are probably not good. And that is life. You know, we would say, doesn't it say high places about David, but David killed Uriah and slept with Bathsheba. So, you know, that's not a high place. I don't know what is, you know. So I guess what I'm saying is I kind of believe that we're a mess in a lot of ways. And that it's not perfection that God is willing to help. It's helpless people who know him. But it's not going to be because I have my ducks in a row. It's not like, you know, I put everything together and whatever. And now I go and say, okay, Lord, come help me. Everything looks good. Come help me. I don't have any sin in my life to think of. I've got everything together. I think whatever. Come help me. And we've given this example of I call the house cleaner to come and clean my house, and I quickly clean it up before she gets there because I'm too embarrassed for her to clean my house. But I'm paying her. That's why she's called a house cleaner. You know, we don't want to try to fix our house but let God come in. So what I'm saying is, no, do I believe that we should all walk around and proud of whatever our high place is? I'm just saying that the fact that these verses are there turned from when I was younger in the Lord terror to actually comfort. That's my take on them after these years. My take on it, because God honored him. God honored him from the get-go. God honored him afterwards, in between. God honored him. And I believe that God comes after us lovingly, in a good way, like, and helps us. And he removed the altar of the foreign gods and the high places, which is very interesting to me in verse 3. He also removed the high places in verse 5, an incense from all the cities of Judah. But then, you're right, it does go back over there and says that he does not remove the high places later on. And so it is very interesting, but the high place were not removed from... okay, it's interesting because it says the high places were not removed from Israel. I don't really know. I'd have to study that out. You know, but I'm just saying. In general, I have seen that enough. And yes, we could all sit. This is an old thought of mine that I could sit around and something could happen to somebody, and we all could sit around and we could say, yeah, you know. Right? Right? The fact that I don't have to explain that look tells you what we all could say, right? We all could say, you know. But there's not a person in this room where that couldn't be the case. Right? Be honest. Like, if everybody knew, if there was a little detector when we walked into church and went off, you know, like metal detector, and then it showed up on the screen, we're like, oh, no, nobody would enter the church. Okay? Because then we would be exposed. So all I'm saying is, when I was younger, I never understood that in the Lord. No one actually ever told me that. I just didn't understand it. There was somebody would leave, like, well, you know, Sally. And I used to wonder. I remember this happened. And I was like, did anyone ever go visit Sally? Or were you all like, you know, it's like, did anyone ever go, you know, see if they could help or whatever? Or do we all have, aha, we knew I was going to come to bite her. And I guess what I'm saying, we all have the high places. And we all have a reason why Christianity shouldn't work with us. That's the beauty of it, the fact that it does. God didn't come to save, like, the ones who had it together. He came to save the ones who didn't have it together. And then I got saved, and then God has graciously worked with me, and I don't have it together. And at no point does it say God helps the perfect. It's actually that we're messy. We're not just helpless. Sometimes we're downright a mess. Like, not just help, you know, that's all. This is a helpless little chick, you know. Or we could say, ooh, look at the helpless little kitten. You know, it's like, whoa. You know, it's like, that's out of control. Like, this person, we are aggressive against him at times. Or we have huge problems or what have you. But our God is not afraid of the challenge. So we have high places. Regardless of why they're there, and we could theologically sit down and have discussions of how that high place got there and what caused it. And I leave that to psychiatrists and psychologists to do. Not for my Bible to do. But my counselor heals without discussion of major sessions. You know, the blind man, who sinned that this man was blind? His mother or his father, they asked Christ. Who sinned? And he was like, he's this way because the glory of God could come in. Like, we don't know. So it could be, that's why I used to think, like, you're saying, Sally, like, we don't know what was that. Could be something else. Could be something else.
Maybe it's some different situation.
Yeah. We don't know anything. So, like, we're not God. So this high places, I mean, it seems like he took all these other high places and then this other high place here. They're going to creep up, you know. But my hope is that for the rest of my life that God would be allowed to remove high places. It appears that they crept up and they go down because we read multiple times they destroyed them. I'm saying they're going to come up and they can go down. That's what God can do in my life. He can take captivity captive. He can destroy those things that would destroy me, you know?
He can make your enemies your footstool. He can make your enemies help you, even in, you know, a time, bad time.
Absolutely.
He can make things together. Like
Proverbs 16:8, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Mm-hmm. These are things that God can do. So they aren't a reason for God not to help me. Like, God's not, I'm like, oh my gosh, help. And he's like, do you see those high places?
Not my
home. Yeah, do you see those high places? Jesus, do you see those high places? She's calling on help. High places. I've seen God use myself and others in ministry. And where I would say there are skyscrapers. High places, you know. Like, you know, I can't hide this with a blanket, you know. So I am not, like, going to go around. Like, I just know that that's this, I believe we are this work in progress, this mercy, this merciful, gracious God, and that's part of a relationship that God is ever healing and ever using. And he can actually, he's the only one who can do it at the same time.
That's true.
It's an amazing thing that I can actually, that God can, as he's fixing, he can actually use. Me, and that's to me a miracle. It really is, and that's why I say, like she said earlier, like. But when I talk about the reform, the beauty of as I get older is that yes, I'm still able to help others reform, and I'm still being reformed. That's amazing. So that's what I would say. Could that have been? Yes, but you know, let's say we remove that. that it would have been something else. You know what I mean? It's like the question is a condition of the heart. Asa, you forgot to keep calling out. Asa, you had these opportunities. Asa, like, are you kidding me? Don't, and that's why I'm saying, don't forget to call out. And Asa, if, you know, think about these things because, and don't be too proud. He's too proud. And when you say that the high places were not removed, you know, it's like you're proud that you're diseased in the foot. Like, that's humiliating. You can't move out. At the end of the days, you can't move about. God,
humiliating. It could be pride. Like, for instance, it could be pride. Like,
yeah.
And that could be what can stop you from getting from point A to B.
Exactly.
It could be anything, like, that's a hindrance to you.
Exactly. And that's the thing. For Asa, like, your feet are diseased, you're humiliated, and you can't call out to God? Okay. It's like, and they honored him in his death, but really, this is, one would, you know, we can be silly that way. So, we don't know enough about it. We could just know this, that I would have to say there will be plenty like that. I just know that my whole life is a miracle. But let's not forget that. If I ever stop my life from being a miracle, that's when I will forget to call out to God. It's that simple. Like, if I could give the Bible study in a nutshell, my whole life is a miracle. And when I forget that, I'll stop calling out to God. Because I'll just stop, because I'll expect that at some point the miracle is over. And what is the definition of a miracle? A supernatural act of God. My whole life is a supernatural act of God. And when I forget that, I'll stop calling out. Because miracles are not, the definition of a miracle, it's not humanly possible. Mm-hmm. It's not humanly possible that I'm sitting here right now giving you this Bible study. It's not. Because I could tell you that about 15,000 ways my ship should have been, should have gone off course and what have you. The moment I forget that, I'll stop calling out to God. The moment I forget that, you can tell Latasha, well, yeah, but now you're in this mess, or you went over here, you're over there. All those things are right, but I can tell you there's so much more. It's even worse than you think. Oh, you think that's bad? Oh, no, it's worse than you think. We can have that party too, right? Everyone's like, well, what's going on? Oh, no, it's worse than that. It's worse than that. That's why it's a miracle, you know, that I'm walking, that I'm living, that this is a miracle. You know, and he is a miracle working God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord.